on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's another edition of the YokeCast podcast. We got a heck of a lineup for you today. We'll, of course, preview Indiana State as the Coyotes get set to try to get their first road victory of the season against the Sycamores on Saturday. Also coming up in the podcast, we will talk to Athletic Director John Schemmel about the facility's master plan, which has come out. We'll talk about the new pool. We'll talk about Nike, all of that stuff coming up with John Schemmel. A great long conversation about the details in the facilities and how USD continues to be committed to making a better atmosphere and a better situation for student athletes that come to the University of South Dakota. I also had a chance this week to catch up with Jason Mahold. He is the swim and dive coach at the University of South Dakota. Coach Mahold has been here for 20 years, and he has seen the program go from Division II to Division I. He has seen, of course, now the creation of the new natatorium and the pool and the wellness center, and just what a great opportunity it is to have that at USD and continue to build on the success of swimming and diving. So we've got all that coming up here in the podcast, and of course, at the end, we'll take you around to what's coming up in Coyote Athletics as well. Let's get it started with Jason Mahold. He is the swim and dive coach at South Dakota.
Jason, your teams are coming off of a weekend where they finally got to host a duel, each of them, the men's team and the women's team, in the new pool, the natatorium. How would you describe just the opportunity to host in this new building? You know, this has been obviously something that was delayed, and I know there were some frustrations and setbacks, and just finally to get it done and then to host an event. How would you describe that moment when you knew, like, wow, this is reality?
Yeah, I think it was definitely an emotional day for a lot of people, myself included, of finally kind of making the natatorium our home. You know, we've been practicing since the spring in here, but to have that first meet and have somebody in here and us to be able to compete was really just exciting, you know, for everybody, right? For myself as a coach, being able to see a pool and a project we've worked 6 years to come together on, to athletes who swam for 3 years in the dome and get to have their first meet here, to our fans who got real seats to sit in the stands. And I think it was just overall just a really cool experience. You know, it's one that I think most coaches would do anything to have that experience once in their career, to have a brand new facility. So just an overall great day. To tap it off too, the kids performed unbelievably well, which always helps, right? I think we had something like 18 first place finishes over the course of the day or something like that. So just overall great day, great experience. And the really fun part too is we backed it up the next day with our alumni meet. We had over 60 alums come back and got to race our alums in the pool. And we should have set up a camera, John, to see the faces of the alums when they turned that corner and came into the pool for the first time. And I thought my athletes were excited the first time they got to come in. The alumni, I think, were even more excited to see where the program's at, what the program has to work with now. And, you know, having those two experiences back to back, I think it's safe to say that we're finally moved in and settled into our new home.
I would imagine there was, with the alums, some excitement met with some jealousy.
100%. 100%. I think every other alum said, hey, you know, you promised this to me in my junior season. I didn't know it was going to take 10 years for my junior season to come, right? You know, I think there's definitely some envy, like, hey, I wish I would have had this. But overall, they're just extremely happy for the program and where we're at right now and where they see our ability to go in the future. You know, I think they're a very proud alum group that's been very supportive of the success we've had in recent years, and they like following that, and they want to see it to continue and grow, and they know this is a huge part of us making the next step in the program.
I remember when this was you know, a project, and it was getting started, and we had one of these conversations, and you were kind of thinking about what practices might look like versus what they look like in the dome pool, and how, you know, the dome pool, it might take all day to get through practice. Yes. Because you have so much different, confined to a much smaller space. How has it changed now that you've had it and you've gone through some practices? How has just the day-to-day operation changed?
Well, it's completely reformed, right? When we were in the dome, we were running three swim practices a day and a diving practice every day. So you had four different workout slots throughout the day. We're now running really one practice a day. There's some one-offs here and there where we have to do some different things. But the ability for us to do so many different things is crazy. You know, we can have six different groups doing six different things all at the same time. The ability for our divers to come in and dive whenever they want with their coach, you know, we couldn't do that before, right? You know, this is the first time I think in 10 years our diving team isn't practicing from 5 to 7 p.m. You know, they get to have dinner with their teammates at the CAF. You know, and the ability to train the way we would compete too. You know, we were in the dome, we would have to be very creative about our rest and our recovery in between sets, where here we've got a pool that they can warm down and cool down in between sets and stuff, which is what you'd have at a meet. So we can really kind of start to train the way we are going to compete, which we haven't been able to do in 20 years. But at the same token, there's been adjustments for us. You know, Anthony and I have had to learn how to use a microphone and a PA system because the pool's a little bit bigger and everyone can't hear us. Jill, our diving coach, has a blowhorn she uses. So there's been some learning curve for us on different things we need to do and learn. You know, they're all good problems to have.
How does game day, if you will, meet day, operation change from, obviously you hosted some events in the dome pool and you got used to that for a number of years. How does it change in a new, well-lit, breath of fresh air pool?
Again, it's completely revamped what we've done, right? You know, we used to have to swim, then take a break for diving, swim, take a break for diving. Now we can run both at the same time. John, that cuts about 2 hours out of the length of a swim meet for us here at home. You know, that's time that our athletes get back. That's time our staff gets back. Our game day operations people, all those people get that time back with this setup. And then on top of it, it's an extremely fast facility too. So the times our kids are putting up are better than they were a year, 2 years ago. The atmosphere, you know, having a scoreboard that has their names on it, that can do video, a true spectator seating area where our fans can enjoy both swimming, diving at the same time. We just kind of walked you through the facility here. You'll notice there's no chlorine smell. It's very comfortable. Like things that you wouldn't expect from a swim meet that we have here because we did this project so well. You know, you don't come in here at a meet and get hit with a wave of that stale chlorine air or that heat humidity that you're used to having. You know, the whole experience, I think, is just amazing.
Yeah, a good opportunity, a lot of opportunities yet for fans to come check it out and not only just see this pool, but to see it in action. I know that you'll have plenty of meets coming up. We talked also once about, you know, how it's changed recruiting, and it changed recruiting looking at pictures, right? This has got to change recruiting looking at the finished product.
Oh, it has, John. And the cool part was, is through this whole process, I mean, we were able to work and bring recruits through during the construction phase and construction project. So we kind of used it then, but it's completely different when the lights are turned on, the tank's full of water, right? We actually had a couple parents of our freshmen that came this weekend to the meet, and they're like, the last time I was in here, I had to have a construction hat on, a safety vest, all that stuff, right? And you could have, at those points, you could see what it was going to be, but I don't know if anyone had the vision to see what it looks like today. And it's helped us tremendously in the recruiting front of, you know, being able to start at our natatorium and showcase it to begin with. And not that we hid the dome pool, but We tried to make sure we sold them on everything that was USD before we got to the pool before, so they couldn't say no. And now we get to show them the pool and start with that and lead with that. So it's a different pitch for us. But I think it's also just a different setup. You know, kids can come in here and see the ability of what we can do from a training standpoint, a competition standpoint, and it just makes it a more attractive place to come. You know, I think the success we've already had and what we have to sell here at USD with the university and all that was already easy. This has just made it a little bit more enticing to the swimmer and diver that's looking at us.
Obviously, the new pool, natatorium, it's connected to the Wellness Center. The Wellness Center is a piece of the Vermilion community. It's a piece of the campus community. How does that factor into the use of the pool as well? Do you have to work around schedules? How do they kind of manage that? Obviously, there's a lot of space for some of that. Do your swimmers always have access whenever they want?
Not necessarily access whenever they want. You know, we've got pretty good practice times for us. We do share it when we're practicing. So there was a learning curve for us to get used to watching people walk through our practice to go to the hot tub or the steam room or the rec pool. You know, from when we were at the dome, and I don't know if anyone even knew where the pool was in the dome, right? So we didn't have a whole lot of foot traffic coming through practice before. But, you know, we welcome it. You know, walk in, watch us practice, see what we're doing. You know, we're kind of an open book. And my hope is if you walk through and you're going to the hot tub, you see we have a swim team, maybe you come to our next home meet, right? You know, it's a great thing for our team, but I think we talked about this the last time we talked, John, was it's a great thing for the general students at USD. It's a great thing for the community. You know, the added stuff that we're able to do with expanded swim lessons, the pieces like the hot tub and the steam room that you can work out in the Wellness Center and then come over and take a soak, get in the steam room. Those are amenities that we haven't had in Vermilion since I've been here. And it's great to see the public come in and take advantage of those things. And that's what we want. We want this facility to be used. I'm looking forward to more events in the building. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing more club meets here, more programming, which I think the Wellness Center is gonna do a great job of expanding on here. But we've talked from day one when we were planning this that there was really three areas that we wanted to improve, and that was, you know, our student athlete experience, which I think we've knocked that one out of the park, right? Our student campus population, their quality of life, and I think we did that, and then add something more for the community as well. And I think we've done a great job on all three of those with this, and I think you're only going to see it grow in the years to come, with more exposure and more people getting to see what we have to offer here.
How about what your teams have to offer this year? When you look at this group, obviously they're coming off of dominating performances against Minnesota State for the women and Augustana for the men. Now you get ready to go to Minnesota for a tri-duel with Nebraska and the University of Minnesota. When you look at your teams right now, what do you see out of this group?
Yeah, we're very young. You know, we're very freshman, sophomore heavy at the moment. You know, on the men's side, we only have one male senior. On the women's side, I think we have seven seniors. So, you know, it's a big flip from what we're used to. You know, I think the last three seasons, we've had 19, 22, 33 seniors in those classes that were graduating. So we're very young. We're also a pretty talented group. You know, we're really kind of coming to our own here in October. We saw a lot of things this past weekend I think we can move forward and improve upon. But this weekend will be a good test for us. We've been very fortunate to continue to schedule Minnesota, Nebraska at this point in the season. And Minnesota is a top 25 team in the country right now on both sides, which is a good challenge for us. I don't know if we've got enough bullets to take Minnesota out, but we're definitely going to have some really good races, and it'll give our kids a great chance to really kind of fine-tune some of their race skills, you know, leading into, you know, Kansas and Missouri S&T and our Coyote Extravaganza and stuff, the meets we have kind of follow. So I love kind of getting up against some of those bigger Big 10, Big 12 teams early in the season to get our kids ready for racing, and I think they're up for the challenge.
couple of weeks you'll host Iowa State in a duel, and then you got, as you mentioned, the Coyote Extravaganza. I think that's the following week. For people who may want to come check it out, I mean, before, right, in the Dome Pool, you just kind of walk in, see it. There wasn't really a comfortable space to be in. Now there is a comfortable space to sit. You can watch everything. You're high above everything. With the new building, does there come admission? Does there come anything like that? How do they, like, what should the fans know before they come in to meet here?
First, come and check it out, right? Come in the door, see what it's about. You know, I think you're going to find out that we've got a really awesome product to watch. We've got some really talented athletes on both the swimming and the diving side. And there's no lack of entertainment, right? When we've got swimming and diving happening at the same time, there's always action. There's always stuff happening. So first and foremost, come in and check it out, right? You know, there is admissions to get in. But like you said, we've got a great spectator viewing area for 500 plus people. We've got a full viewing deck with concessions, high top, low top tables. You know, we definitely put some thought into what we wanted that meet experience to look like. And I think if you come once, you'll come back multiple times, because I think you're going to really enjoy what you get to see. Because we've got some really great athletes doing some pretty cool things, you know. And then I come back the next day and compare yourself. Hop in the pool, put up a time, see if you can compare to our college kids. So, you know, I think if you come in the door once for a meet, I think you'll come back for more.
We need a sellout here. How do you think your swimmers and divers would react to a capacity crowd in this building?
Oh, I think we'd love it, right? And I think we're going to get there. You know, I think Iowa State Hall of Fame weekend will be a good one for us. A Coyote Extravaganza, that'll be six teams in the building. We were never able to do that in the Dome, right? We can only bring two teams in. We're going to have six teams competing in this building at one time. I think that's at October 31st, November 1st weekend. Get out. I mean, it's going to be, like I said, I think you're going to like the product. I think you're going to like the environment. You know, I can guarantee that you won't come leaving the building smelling like chlorine and like a lot of other places. So, you know, I would love to have a sellout crowd and really kind of show our athletes what we're capable of.
You've been here a long time. You saw this program through the transition from Division II to Division I. This was probably at one point a pipe dream, right, in your head, and thinking, how could we ever, maybe it wasn't even a dream. Maybe it was just, this is what we got and this is what we got to deal with. And then it started to become a possible reality, and it was a reality. What has it meant to you being here for so long and now just looking out your office and seeing this and you know, just the whole different atmosphere and experience and everything for the student athletes? What has it meant to you personally?
Yeah, I think we first got to talk about how you say so long, John. This is my 21st season here, and what I've seen in those 21 years has been extraordinary, right? You mentioned that the transition from Division II to Division I, being a young coach at that point in time and seeing that transition through, and you know, the hardships that followed that immediately were huge growing moments for our program, right? And then you kind of make that transition and it's like, okay, what's next? And we improve and we rise up, and we had some great experiences at that. And there were definitely dreams about a new facility, John, but there was, I don't think in my wildest dreams I ever thought I would see it through fruition and see it come to light the way it has. You know, I kind of mentioned to you when we're walking around before of up until this last week, and I don't know if we felt like it was home yet, right? You know, my kids even joked like the first couple weeks in here, like, we kind of feel like we're renting somebody else's place, right? But seeing that first meet through, seeing our kids race in here, seeing our fans in the stands, it was like, nope, this is the new home. This is our new normal. Has been just phenomenal. You know, I think I got to make sure I thank my staff, my wife, my kids, because the 6 years of planning to get to here, I'm sure there was some days I was a bear to deal with. But, you know, we did so many things right throughout this entire process. We have a president who sees what what the future really looks like, and wants to make sure that the projects we're doing are going to be done right, to give us what we need to really kind of push our programs to the next level. Which makes me even more excited for Lucky and Robert and the things that we have on the horizon, because I've seen what we're capable of doing, you know, with the Dome renovations, the arena, and now this. And I think with each project, we grow and learn a little bit more. And if the indoor track facility and softball complexes can be 1/10 as good as this, we're going to be really, really happy with what we get. So, you know, talking to Lucky and Robert in recent days, I told him, get excited. It's a long road, but when you get to the end product, it is something pretty special to be a part of.
Well, I know this place is pretty special. It's an absolute gem. Congratulations on getting to this point, and good luck this season. I hope a lot of people get the chance to come out and see this place, just in person in general, but definitely for a meet as well. Have a great season.
Awesome. Thank you, John. Appreciate your time.
That is Jason Mahold. He is the head swimming and diving coach at the University of South Dakota. And if you've not been in the new pool, I'd invite you to stop by and check it out sometime. Just walk in, and it's the wow factor. There's a video board, there's the Coyote logos and script everywhere, and it's phenomenal. They did a great job with it, and you're going to see that pay off here over the next several years, and really excited for that, and I can't wait to watch a swim meet in there. I know we got a couple of opportunities at home coming up here in the month of October. On a Friday afternoon, they'll take on Iowa State. That's at 3 o'clock in Vermilion on October 24th. And then the Coyote Extravaganza is Friday and Saturday, October 31st and November 1st. So opportunities to see the swim and dive team in action in Vermilion, not in the dome pool, but in the brand new Natatorium. So check it out sometime if you can. I also had a chance this week to catch up with John Schemmel. He, of course, is the athletics director at the University of South Dakota. He's made a lot of big changes over the last several years. Changes continue to evolve USD's athletic programs, including facilities. Obviously, we talked about the pool and that being new, but now the track and field program, the east side of the dome, the softball field and complex, all of that is all in the plans now, and they hope to really get this thing developed in the next less than 10 years. You know, we've heard 5 to 7, and I talked to John Schemmel about that. Is 5 to 7 a real possibility? So that answer coming up here. John Schemmel, the athletic director at South Dakota.
John, you get into another season. Obviously, we're into October now, and boy, if you look at the calendar, I hope nobody is looking too far ahead, but you blink here, we're going to be into basketball season in about a month. We got football and volleyball and soccer deep into their seasons, and all these other sports are going to be firing up. It's always crazy to me when we get to the month of October and you start thinking, oh my goodness, we got a lot of things coming up in the next 2 months.
Yep, no doubt. It's fall always whips by. This fall has seemed to go quicker than the others in recent history. But yeah, I was kind of woke up and had the realization. We had our first night where it was 40, 50 degrees, and that was kind of the first night I realized, like, damn, basketball starts in a couple weeks here. And in November is always the crazy month. We got all our fall sports going, winter sports all going. But it's also really exciting and tons of energy and you know, a lot of fun. So it's an exciting time of year, certainly one that runs us all rampant, but we love it, and that's why we do it.
You look at the sports playing right now, and obviously soccer's had a pretty good year up to this point. Volleyball, they have a weird schedule. They don't have a lot of, like, two matches at home weeks. It's kind of a lot of split weeks. And then football's got a weird schedule where we had a couple of home games, then you get one, and then you get three in a row. It's kind of the year of weird scheduling.
It really is. You know, football, there was something decided before my arrival here, you know, where there was an adjustment, I think, with North Dakota State to play St. Thomas during the Missouri Valley Football Conference schedule, which meant some team was going to end up drawing the short straw and playing 12 in a row. And unfortunately, we drew it, and not one that I love, generally speaking, but playing 12 in a row. You know, having said that, I think with the way the schedule in football's kind of occurred and the wins and the losses, you know, it's probably about as good of the as good as the schedule could be, kind of the way we want it running forward, right? Kind of hopefully getting things going here and then having three really tough ones at home before finishing on the road. Yeah, volleyball's different with even just their preseasons, just all like little 3-4 team round robins as opposed to just playing somebody. And having two of those at home this year obviously was unique and a good opportunity. Volleyball, you know, volleyball's volleyball, and it's fun to see Michael and the soccer program winning, and it's been exciting to see them score a lot of goals, which has been their biggest challenge in prior years, and stack up some wins. So it's been a crazy fall, but everything's still in front of us, and it'll be an exciting stretch here over the next month or two.
Yeah, it'll be really fun to see how kind of the fall sports keep going the next month and a half, and then how our winter sports kick up, because that's coming up really, really quickly as well. We'll get into a lot of the facility stuff in just a little bit, but recently announced a few weeks ago that South Dakota is going to make a change, apparel, equipment, things like that, from Adidas, which has been a long-term partner, to Nike, and bring that back, which was once a thing. What kind of goes into that kind of decision process and just deciding on what's the best thing for us right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, listen, I think the from the retail standpoint and the fan base standpoint, access to Coyote gear, that was a huge problem when I was here the first time. Since being back, very clear that's been an issue since. And not that that's what would drive that decision in particular, but certainly something that we were looking at going into the bid process. But it all started really last winter. Corey and I had a meeting with Adidas in person, kind of before going into that process. And candidly, I would describe that as a disappointing meeting. I didn't leave that meeting thinking they had a whole lot of value on us as a brand. Certainly compared to some of the other schools that they were carrying. I think Corey and I kind of walked out of there and looked at each other like, you know, that didn't go very well. And whether that's true or not, that was my take. And they kind of said, you know, they'd make an offer, but they weren't willing to negotiate. And that says a lot, whether they intended to or not. I took it that way. So we went into it really with a very open mind. And knowing that there could be some opportunity there, NDSU and Nike split, a year ago. So we were hopeful maybe that we'd be able to draw a bid from Nike, with NDSU and SDSU both being Under Armour. That'd be a really hard sell for me. And I think for our fan base, certainly our president. So really throughout the process, the bids came in, Nike's bid was at the top from the start. And as we continued to negotiate, they were really willing to negotiate with us. And it felt like they valued us as a partner. It felt like they valued our brand. They knew about our recent success in football. They knew about our track success historically. They knew about our new pool. Like, they knew about a lot of things. So they had done their homework. And I think every now and then timing and luck come together. And I think the falling out that they had, I think they had a lot of value on our brand, certainly on holding a Dakota school, I think was important to them. And we were really the opportunity there to do that. So we see a huge opportunity there for ourselves as the flagship institution in the state of South Dakota, but also the only Nike brand in all of the Dakotas. Throw Nebraska into that mix. It's a really good opportunity for us to work with a partner that values us and as a standalone brand. And we have no doubt that between Nike and the partnership with BSN, the access to our brand will be something our fans will see a tremendous positive change in moving forward.
You know, I look at each year our student athletes, and I know we've done a good job of showing this. The student athletes will see the reaction to the new gear they get every single year. But we're not just talking about
the new gear for next year. We're talking about all new uniforms. Everything has to be changed. How does that work out as far as, is that a lot of their bid as far as how they're going to help us get started? Does it cost USD money up front to make that big change? Because that's a significant change right away.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that was very much a part of the negotiation. You know, in this, there's kind of your year-to-year spend and all these different things. And then what, if anything, would Nike be willing to do to help us in that transition? Because we certainly just don't have $2, $3 million to throw at a brand transition. And so I think both between Nike and BSN, you know, valuing us and wanting to make this partnership happen, and also just the institution seeing value in this brand switch, you know, made us really comfortable in being able to make that transition. And then I think as we got really close to the end, the goal was we want to make this switch July 1 of 2026, and we are Nike that day, right? And everyone's Nike, every team's Nike, and we'll be a proud Adidas school until June 30 of 2026, but we're going to switch. And so it's a lot of work and a lot of planning, and Alexa and Gina and Corey and others are well on their way to doing those types of things. But yeah, it's going to be literally up till June 30, we're Adidas, and then July 1, everything Adidas is out, everything Nike is in, and our kids will be working out and practicing in Nike stuff on July 1. So it'll be a transition. It'll be a lot of work, but I think there'll be a lot of value and upside on the backside of it.
Well, that'll be one of the changes coming. And the other big one that was recently announced is the facilities master's plan. And I know this is a big thing. It's been a dream for a long time to continue to elevate the student athlete experience. Before we get into that, how about the student athlete experience for the swimming and dive team? They just opened up the new pool as far as competitions here this past weekend. That's a beautiful facility. I hope a lot of people get a chance to go over and watch some meets in there. What did that mean to see that thing? I know there were setbacks along the way and all of that, yeah. But just to see that thing in action this past weekend, pretty big step.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, knowing just the space, number one, right? Square footage, locker rooms, offices. But the quality of the facility, and really President Gestring has everything to do with that. This was something she really valued and committed to, not only for our Division I swimming program, but part of having a great Division I campus and a recruiting element for all of our students. And even more than that, just a valuable asset in the city of Vermilion and being a great partner to our community at large. And so it was incredibly important to her. But I know just as a Division I swimming program, the change in that immediately for Jason now. I mean, I think even I don't even need to tell him the expectations change because he knows the expectations change. And I think he's really excited about that. And, you know, Jason's been as loyal as a coach comes and certainly had opportunities to take bigger jobs along the way. But loved it here. Loved it at USD. Loves it in Vermilion. Just desperately wanted a pool, and now he has one. And so for the student athletes, it just kind of one of those things that just warms your heart a little bit, because you know these kids came here for all the right reasons. They didn't come here for that pool, and now they have it as a perk, especially for the seniors on the way out. And it, you know, it still kills me that we couldn't do it for the seniors on the way out last year. But it's incredibly exciting for them, for the program, and for me, I think just so much for the community and both USD and Vermilion at large.
Well, it's a good, it's a great facility, certainly for USD and the student athletes, and you get now an upgrade for one of your longest tenured coaches, and the next phase of the facilities master plan is one of the other really longtime coaches at USD in track and field, and the Gasson Family Track and Field Center. I mean, it looks absolutely incredible. I can't wait to see that thing done.
I can't either, and you know, I think even just starting with, I don't think people understand what January through March look like in the Dakota Dome. You know, you go down there in February, and I would make a point to do it several times a week last year. Listen, it's great that we have a space that's multi-purpose and multi-use, but when you have softball practicing, track practicing, running, and throwing. You have football conditioning in a corner. God knows what else is going on. I mean, the student, you know, everything that runs through my mind seeing that is just how bad of a look it is. And, you know, above that, the surface of the dome is probably 5 years late on being resurfaced, right? Which is a $1.5 million investment. So just knowing that we have a solution to that problem is enough for me. But then you add in, the generosity of T. Denny Sanford and the idea really Miles Beacom came up with to name it after Bill and Jill Gasson and the Gasson family, I think really is kind of what cemented it. But for them to kind of see that vision come to fruition and lead that vision, I mean, it's transformational for our department, but I also think for the community of Vermilion, the amount of events it allows us to do and bring in, not just for track, but now to turn the dome into a turf down facility year round. What that does for all of our sports, obviously starting with football, but you add soccer, softball, golf into that mix. But just the community and other things that we'll be able to bring into Vermilion that we haven't been before, will be unbelievable. And we'll be able to host the Summit League indoors again, things we haven't been able to do recently. And so it's a huge deal, and the facility itself will be state of the art. I mean, lucky we included him in all of the design of it. We had to tell him to stop going to different 200-meter indoor tracks because he kept changing things everywhere he would go. So I think it was after the Kansas State one, we said, okay, but that's it. That's your last one. But I know he's so excited about it. It was something I know that was really important for him to want to get done before his career does end, whenever that does in the future. And I think, you know, he'll be able to walk away hanging his hat on that, knowing that thing's open and done. And not that he needed anything to cement his legacy, but that certainly will. And what that'll do for our student athletes over there with all new locker rooms and, even their own training room and nutrition area, you know, they'll live their lives over there, track will. But the space that opens back up on the east side of the dome to plan for the renovations over there. So, you know, that's kind of the trigger that really gets the master facility plan going. It adds 100,000 square feet of space that we don't have right now. And it'll be an elite facility, and one that'll draw certainly a lot of Division I events, but I think a lot of other events to the community of Vermilion.
You know, I don't mean for this to come off and sound like a negative thing, but there was a time where you could essentially high-five every head coach at USD in about 3 minutes. Now you're getting all these facilities, they're going to be spread out a little bit.
It is different. I stood in front of the student-athletes, I think it was last year, and I told them, we were in the Dome Club, and I told them 9 years ago, the west side of the dome didn't exist, and this dome club out to the arena didn't exist, which meant all 100 staff of our department and 430 student athletes, give or take, were on the east side of that dome. And the faces they had when I told them that, they couldn't believe it. And for like 5 minutes, they just like, how is that even possible? And it's hard to remember because it was pretty much impossible. And that's what I keep telling people, you know, how much change we've had in the last 10 years, just let yourself imagine what the next 10 have in store. And so, I think that's the exciting part, knowing we're constantly chasing something, always trying to improve the student athlete experience as best we can. And that's realistically, at the end of the day, that's what everything I think about is all about, right? I think about those 430 student athletes. What can we do for them to make their experiences better? I think between the indoor finishing the dome and then softball, you know, I feel like we've done that. We have everything that we need. Now it's just maintaining and making slight improvements over the years in the future. And I'm really, really excited about the next 5 to 7 years for sure.
East side of the dome, you've done a little bit of changes to that. I know those might be temporary fixes with the big picture in mind. It was important to kind of make some immediate changes, but really a big plan for the east side.
Yeah, the east side of the dome. There's a couple things we'll do to the west side. Still, we'll do all new laundry room and then equipment room for football on the west side. And then we will actually blow out the Coyote Landing on the east side and recreate another hospitality area on the 500 level on the west side. That'll have kind of like two drink rails of seats. We'll have two, finish the second elevator shaft, so we'll have two elevators that go up and down on game day. And that'll function as an additional hospitality area, then a much better one. And then we'll have mirrored seating, right? So the east side where the landing is, that kind of box will get blown out, and we'll have seating there. Then we'll have an elevator shaft that goes up on, from the Coyote Landing area now, up, and that'll take you up. Then we'll add suites on the east side at the very top. And completely redo the whole press row and all of that, and make that really just a Division I elite facility over there. And then really then it's kind of from the bottom up. So we talked about turf down permanently. The turf that we have right now, it's a different kind of turf. It's not ideal turf. And, you know, it has seams in it, all these different things. And the more you roll it up, the more you put it down, the harder it is to get the seams to line up. So it'll be that field turf with the rubber inlay that's down permanently. All new locker rooms for every remaining team. Again, now track will also come out. So not only will we have new locker rooms, but there'll be more space for them. We'll have an indoor hitting space for golf down there, cycling room for triathlon down there, and then an all-new weight room primarily built for football, but we'll probably have football and track and field. We'll come over and use that. So that'll loosen up a lot of space. Then in our other weight room, we have a great weight room. We just only have one of them. And then all, like as I said, all new locker rooms down there. Then kind of a lot of people don't realize there's kind of a middle level in there with a bunch of offices. We'll redo all that, have more team meeting room spaces, new offices, more offices for everybody in there, and that'll get completely redone, and that'll overlook the weight room. And then we'll have a lounge area for all the student athletes that aren't swimming and dive, track, football, volleyball, basketball, right? Because they all have their own spaces. So everyone left then on the east side will have their own lounge area there as student athletes. And then we'll completely redo the concourse. I think a lot of fans will be excited to hear. We'll go from having one men and one women's bathroom to we'll have three women's bathrooms and two men's on the east side. We'll actually put the bathrooms under the stands, so they'll take up much less space. And then we'll take the concourse all the way out to the exterior of the dome wall, and a lot more like grab and go type setup stations there. And then we will keep it'll be in a different location, but we'll have a gear store in there so fans can buy our stuff as they do now, as we kind of retrofitted that in there. You know, and then we already talked about the suites and the press area. And then we're going to look to do an end zone club underneath the dome club. You know, the dome club's good for a lot of things. Probably missed the mark a little bit on a game day experience space. And so the end zone club will be similar size, just underneath it. We'll try to see if we can connect the two or if we just have to keep them both separate. Excited to have the opportunity to provide an additional space down there. And, you know, I think while we may never win the numbers game with other people, I think the more premium areas we have, you know, if I had 10 more suites to sell right now, we'd sell them tomorrow. Trying to utilize those things. And so once we feel like we've done all of that, you know, then going out to softball, and finally giving them a turf field, and you know, probably utilizing a similar space, at least as of now. There is another site we may potentially look at, but then have a indoor hitting space right there, and just a space that's comfortable for them, that's you know, much more durable through the weather that we have this time of year, and or through the season time of year, March, April, that type of stuff. So you know, and once we get through those things, we feel like all 18 of our sports are covered and ready to go.
Yeah, big change is coming, and I know a lot of people will be excited for it. What's a realistic timeline? You've mentioned 5 to 7 years. Is that realistic in getting a lot of this done?
Yeah, we think, I mean, listen, we think there's a chance we can run the whole thing in 5 to 7. We really do. I think a lot of those, we'll have a better idea in the next 6 to 12 months as to how much of this can we bite off in the next 3 to 5 years. But I think what people don't realize, you know, we wouldn't put this out there if we weren't well underway. I know people know of the $20 million gift, but usually the rule of thumb is, you know, you don't start screaming about something until you're halfway home. And so I would say that's a pretty accurate description of where we are right now. You know, all told, that's probably $85 to $90 million worth of facilities that we have to get done. So I'll let people kind of do their own math on that. But, you know, I think I just love when people doubt USD and I hear that talk all the time. And so it's exciting to announce things, but it's almost even more exciting not to sometimes, just to keep people guessing and on their toes a little bit. I know there are a lot of people that are already saying we can't do this and we can't do that. I will tell you, we have every intention of bringing the indoor to legislation for approval this January. We expect to get it. Our plan's pretty well locked up for that. We still got a little bit of work to do, but feel good about the steps we've taken there already. And that's really the trigger that will start the downfall, right? And the dome's a unique thing because it's already a facility and we can, you know, it's eligible for HEF funding and fundraising and all these different things. So, but you can kind of do as we did this year, right? We did $5 million of improvements to the dome. And so you can do a few million at a time, right? So I do think no matter what, the next 3, 5, 7 years, there's always going to be something happening. And that's really exciting. But the goal is to get it all done in the next 5 to 7. And even if we miss that, I don't think we're talking about 15 to 20. I think it's more, can we get it done in 3, 5, not 3, but can we get it all done in 5 to 7? If we can't hit 7, is it 8, 9, 10? If we can't hit 10, is it 11, 12? But I don't see it going much beyond that. And I'm very optimistic that we'll be able to get it done in 7.
Last thing for you, because we've taken a lot of your time, but you mentioned upgrades to the dome a little bit, and some of that was inside. And if people don't probably notice this on game day, but if you're here during the week, a lot of guys have been working on top of that dome.
Yeah, there's a new roof there. And, you know, for years we've heard the complaint of, can you just clean the roof of the dome? What I don't think people understand is every time you clean it, that's like a six-figure endeavor. It's not just something you can go, you know, do a power washer and spray right. It on. You got to bring cranes in and equipment and specialized people. And so we put a gray top on. I do hope that we'll be able to do some exterior, certainly to the east side improvements, not necessarily changing the structure, but just to make it look a little better in all of this too. But yeah, it's, you know, a lot of things this summer. Like I said, there was $5 million worth of stuff done. And people may or may not notice, right? All new lights in the parking lots. You know, we filled in the pool and we're doing turf and netting in there right now, temporarily, the east concourse and the roof. And it's a good $5 million. And I told the student athletes this, you know, it's not just the sexy stuff that costs money. Sometimes it's the bare bones that's the most expensive. And there'll be a lot of that. What a lot of people may not know about the dome on the east side, it's still original HVAC and plumbing. And so last time I heard, I think it was like $7 million of just HVAC and plumbing work that would need to be done. So it's a lot of the glit and the glam. We have a really efficient design that I'm really proud of. And really appreciate the companies we partnered with, and Brian Limoges and the FM team, and certainly Corey and our facility staff to come up with it. There's a lot of glit and glam in it, and there's a lot of guts too. And it'll be good to get it all done and know that all our toilets are going to flush on game day, and we're not going to have any problems. It's a small wins, John.
You know, as you get that roof done on the dome, now we just need a big old giant sticker with the SD paw on top of it. That should be simple, right?
That was actually originally part of the plan. We were going to put you know, go Yotes or something up there. And it just ended up not working with the budget. But that was the original plan. And as I said, we'll look to do some exterior improvements as well to make it not look so much like a safe bomb shelter from the outside. But you know, just like a home, it's what's important is on what's on the inside, and that's where you spend all your time. But yeah, we're going to do everything we can to try to shine the outside a little bit more too.
No doubt. Well, I greatly appreciate your time. I know we took a lot of it, but it's a great conversation with a lot of big things happening. Ever since you became the AD here, you've been looking at the future, not like just today and what to do now, but for the long future of USD Athletics. And I know people are starting to see that come to fruition. So thanks for the time and keep up the great work.
I appreciate it, John. And as always, go Yotes.
That is John Schimmel. He is the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. You can just tell anytime you talk to him, the passion he has to make USD a better place for not only the fans, but student athletes and everything, everyone involved. And it's important, you know, it's important for people to keep showing up to events. Those tickets that you buy, they in turn create all of these changes and these opportunities that we have moving forward. So it's not just you being there on game day and the energy that you bring, which is a great a deal of importance to our teams, but it's also the effects that your purchase of the ticket has on facilities and everything Coyote Athletics. I had a chance this week to catch up with Brian Jennings. He handles the radio play-by-play of Indiana State in his second full season with the Sycamores. We talked about the 2-3 start for Indiana State. Brian, you get set for another week in Indiana State, obviously 2-3 on the season. Got off to a nice start with a couple of victories, but then a three-game road stretch against really, really good opponents has certainly made things challenging. What do you make of what you've seen so far through five games?
Well, you know, obviously when you lose three in a row to, you know, number 19 Indiana, number 5 Montana, and number 10 Southern Illinois, you realize you've played some good competition. So I think this is a club that, you know, is better than their record indicates. It's a club that's been bit by the injury bug on both sides of the ball, starting with, you know, when you lose your quarterback Elijah Owens, who's one of the best quarterbacks in the Missouri Valley, that doesn't help. And you know, we lost him a couple of weeks back with a shoulder injury, upper arm injury. So, you know, we haven't had him, and we're just beat up right now. But again, you know, there's no excuses, and you just got to come out and get ready to go Saturday against the South Dakota club that is much better than that record indicates.
You know, I think when you look at that offense, you talk about the quarterback position, but man, Nick Osho's really come on. Plez Lawrence has been a durable back and a good back. And I know he's battled some injury, but Nick Osho's really burst onto the scene the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, in the second half against Montana, he ran for about 150 yards, and it was like, wow, you know, just I guess you take advantage of the opportunity, and then you wonder, okay, you know, at the time we're thinking, all right, you know, we don't know if we're going to get Plez back next week for Southern Illinois or not, and obviously he did not play, and then, you know, Nick, 200-plus yards and a couple of big long runs, and a little bit different kind of runner than Plez Lawrence is. Plez is a guy that likes to get to the edge, and he likes to dance a little bit, but Nick Osho is a guy who, you know, wants his shoulders parallel to the line of scrimmage, always running downhill, trying to hit the hole in a hurry and hit it hard. And he's been a nice surprise and really has given this offense a shot of energy that is needed.
I know you mentioned the quarterback spot with Elijah Owens going down. They've had Keegan Patterson and dealt with some stuff there. And then Brock Riddle. What is the quarterback situation right now?
Honestly, you know, I don't know. I tried to, you know, get some information today, and they still don't know if Patterson's going to be good to go this week. You know, he took a shot on Saturday night against SIU, and Brock Riddle came in, the redshirt freshman, you know, in a tough situation, but he got some experience in against the quality club. So honestly, I don't know yet. I'm trying to get some information, but I got a feeling that you might see Brock Riddle on Saturday, which would be his first career start.
Six different guys have at least 9 catches on the year. They're really spreading the ball around.
Yeah, that's the one thing. You know, the receiver room for Indiana State is a good room. I mean, obviously, it starts with a guy like Rashad Rochelle, a guy who, you know, who can beat you a couple of different ways. And, you know, you've got Zach Girardi, who's had a nice season since he's arrived on campus. Brian Domino getting some opportunities. Lance Reese, the tight end. And, you know, that's the one good thing, I think, in what has been a tough stretch offensively for ISU. Sycamore's been able to get the ball around the field. And as you know, when you can distribute the football, that really puts the defense in a position where they really can't focus on any one individual.
Defensively, obviously, they're trying to fix some things there. I know they played some really good competition, but this is a defense that's given up some points. It's given up some yards, and it's not just the run game or the pass game. It's been pretty balanced attack, it seems, against Indiana State this year.
Yeah, you know, the injury bug has hit there too. We've been without the services, you know, of Dallas Westhoff or one of our linebackers early on in the season. You know, you've got you've got guys that have been banged up in the secondary. The bright spot, I should say, has been Kamal Clark. You know, he's the transfer from Central Connecticut State. He's really done a nice job in that strong safety spot. Very physical guy, comes up, you know, is a run stopper. But you know as well as anybody, when guys in your secondary or some of your leading tacklers on the club, that's both good and bad. And hopefully for the Sycamores, we can get some guys back this week on the defensive side of the ball and try to keep in check what is a very good offense with Bowman. And obviously this year, you know, you guys lost Pierre, but you've got an outstanding running back as well, you know, getting an opportunity. So it's one of those kind of things where, you know, you just got to come out and play the game and you just try to hope that you can contain Aiden Bauman and L.J. Phillips, because obviously Phillips is an outstanding back, and you know as well as anybody in the Valley, you better be able to stop the run.
Yeah, the Valley obviously a very difficult league, and every team finds out about that at some point. Kurt Mallory's been there for a while now at Indiana State, and I love hearing this guy talk. You can tell how passionate he is for Indiana State football and just wants to have the success there. They've battled a lot of things the last couple of years. What's the feeling on where he's at with the program right now and trying to get this thing back to a playoff-considered team like they were not that long ago?
Well, I think really what it comes down to is, you know, you look at the state of the program and you've got a solid foundation in the coaching staff. You know, there's a new athletic director now, Nathan Christensen, who's there now in his second year, I think, or third year. And, you know, he's come in and really put a shot of energy into the athletic department, and new president as well. So the commitment is there across the board. I think everybody's on the same page. And, you know, in today's climate of college football, it's a season-to-season kind of thing with the NIL and everything else. And I know that they're very high on the future of the program. Coach Mallory is as good of a football coach as you're going to find anywhere in the country, and as good a man as you're going to find anywhere around. And I think that everybody's on the same page right now. You just need some luck to sort of go your way a little bit. And in the future, I think there'll be some improvements made to Memorial Stadium. I know they've got some things in mind that they want to do, and that starts with your leadership at your upper level and with that commitment to football. I think things are going to be okay eventually for the Sycamores.
I don't know how often it happens. Indiana State has, starting this week, 4 consecutive games against teams from the Dakotas. How about that stretch?
Yeah, you know what? We got our freaking flyer miles going. I'm looking forward to the trips. You know, obviously this week you guys come into our place, and then North Dakota State comes to town, and then, you know, we go up to North Dakota, then South Dakota State. But, you know, we hadn't seen all 4 of the Dakota schools for a couple of years with the conference schedule. But, you know, here it is now. And it's been a meat grinder since this season started. And, you know, as you know as well as I do, you know, you can't take a week off in this conference, and you better be ready to go each and every Saturday.
2 years ago when South Dakota went to Terre Haute, 3-3 tie at halftime, the Coyotes pulled out a 17-3 victory. This is homecoming for Indiana State. I know they'll be fired up to be back at home after 3 straight games on the road. If Indiana State wins this game, what goes well for the Sycamores?
Well, I think you've got to keep the ball away from Phillips and Bauman. You know, you've got to be able to sustain some drives offensively. There's no question about it. Obviously, Aiden Bauman's been around forever. I think I saw like his 38th start of his career, and you know, you're talking about a guy you see each and every week. He's, you know, one of the best in the nation, and a guy who I think has a chance to play on Sundays. And obviously, as I said, you got to be able to stop the run at times as well with L.J. Phillips. And I just think bottom line is for the Indiana State is you've got to take care of the football, and you can't shoot yourself in the foot. If you can rely on some of those factors and get good solid special teams, you give yourself an opportunity.
Brian, great stuff. Really appreciate the time. We'll look forward to the trip to Terre Haute. Should be a fun one on Saturday.
Looking forward to it. We'll see you soon.
It's been a brutal 3-game road stretch for the Indiana State Sycamores. Of course, they had a bye in there as well, but they went to Indiana, they went to Montana, they had a bye, then they went to Southern Illinois, and so they are definitely excited to be home this week. It's homecoming, and there'll be a lot of excitement around Terre Haute, Indiana this weekend for the game against South Dakota, so we'll see how things go. Coyotes looking for their first road victory of the season. We'll see if South Dakota can get it done Saturday afternoon It is a 12 o'clock Central Time start time. You can hear the game on the Coyote Sports Network. Our pregame coverage begins at 11 a.m. Central Time. You can also watch the game on ESPN+. All right, that's going to wrap things up for us this week. Before we do wrap it up, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. Thursday night, the Coyote volleyball team is back at home as the Coyotes take on St. Thomas. South Dakota 1-2 in the Summit League, looking for a big home victory over St. Thomas. Women's soccer's on the road Thursday night. They'll play at Kansas City. Both of those things get underway at 7 o'clock. Friday, the swim and dive team is at Minnesota. In Minneapolis, they'll compete against Minnesota and Nebraska in a tri-duel. Coming up on Saturday, volleyball will play at Omaha. That's a noon start time in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. Same time, football kicks off at Indiana State. Softball at the same time as well, scheduled to play Black Hills State in a fall matchup. Sunday, the women's soccer team will compete against Oral Roberts down in Tulsa. That gets underway at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And looking ahead to next week, it's a Wednesday night volleyball matchup for the Coyotes. They'll be at Kansas City on a Wednesday night, October 15th. That's a 7 o'clock start time. So lots of things going on in Coyote Athletics. As always, you can check all that information out, the schedules, results, ticket information, stories, and so much more at GoYotes.com. That's it for me this week. I'm John Thayer. Thanks for your time. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. You can always catch our podcast anywhere where you get your podcast. Download and subscribe today. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.